Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't missed a football game since UAB 2010.
And why did you miss?
My father was ill.
Okay.
And I made the decision.
And you had a fractured leg too at one point, right?
In 2008, I broke my left femur. I broke it on Monday, had it surgically repaired on Tuesday. On Thursday, I was discharged from the hospital. On Saturday, I had to be there for Brett Toney's first start.
Yep.
It ended up being Brett Toney's only start. But,
All right, John, before I let you roll, drop that number again. This is the tickets that you can buy for veterans at the Memphis VA Hospital.
Yeah, 678-1740. And Wesley Funk will be the one to answer the phone and just tell Wesley, if you forget what the name of the program is, Tickets for Veterans, but if you forget what the name is, just use my name and he'll know exactly what to do.
Yep.
And
sure.
Let me plug that one more time. I've got a one-of-a-kind painting of Tom that if you buy 3 season tickets over the next few days before the season starts, I have a one-of-a-kind Tom painting that is yours if you buy 3 tickets for these veterans.
And he'll hand-deliver it to you.
I will hand deliver it.
For
custom
sure.
Custom driven.
Yeah, for sure. Well, John, appreciate it, man. Great stuff.
Hey, Gabe.
Yep.
Baby, don't change time on the clocks until October.
All right. I hear you. Hang up on this guy. Hang up on this guy, Connor. Get him off my airwaves. That's John Stacy, 678-1704. Hit up Wesley Funk, and you can get some tickets for some veterans at the Memphis VA Hospital. And it helps them just to get out and enjoy themselves at a Memphis Tiger football game. All right, hour number 2 starts up next, and we're going to bring on David Cobb to talk some college football week 0 and college football in general with the SEC going 9 games. Stick around for that. David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer at CBS Sports, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. And then Thursday with Jeffrey Wright and company on X, David W. Cobb. David, happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. Happy week 0.
Eve.
It's not the most appetizing. Yeah, week 0 Eve. It's not the most appetizing slate tomorrow. But, I mean, shoot, it's week 1 in high school football. I mean, we got high school football about to pop up all over the place. So yeah, I mean, that's exciting too.
I heard you guys, you were on Jeffrey Wright and company yesterday. I heard you guys talking about this as an appetizer, but you said it's not even a good appetizer. Jeffrey said it's like the, you know, he was talking about, was he talking about Belmont Grill or something like that, where you have saltine crackers on the table? It's better than that. We have a top 25 matchup. It's not that bad. We've seen worse.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you don't know, let's say Kansas State and Iowa State, it's like a plate of mozzarella sticks, but let's just say you don't know if you're getting a fresh batch of mozzarella sticks or if you're getting a batch that's, you know, been sitting out for 4 hours.
I think it's the frozen mozzarella sticks at a random bar that, you know, they don't like hand dip. I mean, it's fine. It passes.
Yeah. We just need that game to be a good one. We need Kansas State, Iowa State to deliver. If it's half as good as Georgia Tech and Florida State was last season, then that's fantastic. Those are cheese sticks I would order every time.
Yeah, Connor and I were talking about the total, and there's 3 games of the 5 that are at 50.5. I think that's the default line for unknown, I guess, by Vegas. But do we see this being a knockdown, drag out, ugly, nasty field? Dublin game, or do we see this being, okay, Iowa State has replenished the wide receiver room from Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, and they can actually be high-flying? Because I did make the statement. I think if this is going to be an over, if this is going to be a little bit of a shootout, it's on Iowa State's shoulders. Because Kansas State, they are just as fine to play ground control, game control, and work on the clock.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, the whole question around Iowa State and maybe why some people aren't as high on them this year is because they replaced 2 1,000-yard receivers. I mean, that's kind of a wild idea to wrap your mind around, because typically in corn country, you think about 3 yards in a cloud of dust and a bunch of beefy homegrown linemen who are paving the way for the run game. But Iowa State is not that anymore. I mean, this is 2 years in a row now that Rocco Becht has thrown for over 3,000 yards. But how is he going to do that without Higgins and Noel there this year? I mean, I would maybe lean to the under, because I think they're going to be figuring that out kind of as they go. I mean, they got a little bit of help from the portal, but as it typically is with Iowa State, I mean, they're going to replace those guys through internal development, and I just don't know if they've got guys of that caliber ready to step up and step in. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I ended up picking Iowa State straight up. It feels like more of a toss-up to me. But that's more about just an overall trust in that program. But it could go either way. It should be a really good game. If we're looking at a total, I would probably lean under. You mentioned the field concerns. And then just, you know, you think about it. First game of the season, seems to me like defense is generally going to be the easier side of the football to master. It's, hey, there's the football, go and tackle the guy, right? Whereas with offense, there's so much schematic yep. intricacy that you're still dialing in and still really, especially when you get into a game environment. I'm not saying it's going to be super loud in that stadium, but you know, it's just a different feel offensively when you get into that game environment. So yeah, I mean, I would maybe lean under in that one.
What's funny is about Kansas State, I see a lot of Kansas State fans that hype up Avery Johnson. They hyped him up last year in his first year starting because he's got the legs, he's got an arm, four-star recruit, one of the highest-rated quarterback recruits they've ever had. But, like, there's this thought from Kansas State fans, oh, he could be a breakout. He could really impress. My problem with that is this is a Chris Klieman system, right? Like, how much can he actually do as a quarterback from a production standpoint? I've seen them be successful with Skylar Thompson and Will Howard, both pros. I will add. So Avery Johnson could be another guy that does that. But there's just, it feels like there's a limit on what a quarterback in Kansas State system can actually accomplish.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, they've got a new offensive coordinator this year, you know, Matt Wells, former head coach at Texas Tech, right? Who is in there now. So what's he going to bring? I think Avery Johnson's just fine, but I don't know that there's a whole lot more in that bag for him to unlock. Like, he's good, and he was good last year. So I don't know that I really expect there to be a whole nother level for him to reach. I don't know that's really all that realistic. So, you know, the thing that's interesting to me about Kansas State is that they got Dylan Edwards at running back, who yep. was previously at Colorado. You know, Kansas State over the years has produced a lot of, like, really productive, generally smaller running backs.
Taking back to Darren Sproles. Like,
yes, Darren Sproles is exactly who I was thinking of when I said that. And they've had a handful of those guys too, though, over the years. So,
that's a good point.
You know, are they going to get something like that from Dylan Edwards?
And
so
Deuce Vaughn
as
well.
Two teams that have exactly two teams here with a chance to you know, win the Big 12, make the college football playoff, and hey, I don't think you could ask for more. I just wish there was, in terms of a matchup, I just wish there was something else, like. Okay, Stanford and Hawaii. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna be at Sam Houston, Western Kentucky. So you know, I'll be there in Bowling Green for that one. But you know, I mean, unless you're big into Fresno State, Kansas, I don't know. It's just I like that Iowa State Kansas State game. I just need one more. I need one more.
I'll be paying attention to UNLV as much as I can. Not having the Mountain West Network. No one has a Mountain West Network. It's just a streaming service. But another thing I'm going to be paying attention to, because it's the latest game, 6:30 on CBS, Stanford, Hawaii, you already mentioned it. Hawaii, 2.5-point favorites. I ask this honestly, how bad is Stanford going to be? How bad are they going to be? Because we know what happened. They lost Ashton Daniels. They lost Elik Iomanner. They lost one of their really good defensive ends. They lost all their good talent after Troy Taylor was fired, and we have just sort of the interim situation going on with Frank Reich and Andrew Luck bringing in his old boss.
Yeah, well, they're bad enough to be underdogs against a Hawaii team that hasn't been to a bowl in like 4 years. So they're pretty bad. It's a weird dynamic there because Andrew Luck is the GM, and he is the first really significant example of a general manager having autonomy to run a college program like he sees fit. Now Cal is also going that direction with Ron Rivera. So it's kind of odd. The two West Coast teams in the ACC, the academic schools, are both kind of pioneering that model. And my expectations for Stanford are especially low because this Frank Reich situation is very much an interim deal. They had to dismiss Troy Taylor in the spring, and it just raises so many questions. I mean, I have no expectations for Stanford. In fact, I think they could be the worst team in the Power Four. I mean, Cal, Purdue will be in the mix, maybe Wake Forest, but I think Wake's actually going to win some games. So, you know, Stanford could very easily be the worst Power Four team, and I'm actually pretty high on Hawaii, and I think they're going to get it rolling this year under Timmy Chang, and I like their quarterback. So, if I was going to make a play on week zero, and I don't know if I am, it would be Hawaii. I mean, they're favorites, but it's 2.5, and I would take that. I think they're going to beat Stanford, and I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Stanford by double digits.
There's a difference between worst team in the Power Four and a team that looks probably middle of the pack in like the MAC or the Mountain West, and I think it's very possible that we could see that from Stanford. And do you think they'll ever, and I know Andrew Luck's going to do all he can, think they'll ever get back to any semblance of what they had under David Shaw? It's hard to get guys into school there, and we know the challenges.
In this moment, Vanderbilt is the example of how to do it. I mean, wrap your mind around that. We'll see what they're able to do and how much of their success is solely based on Diego Pavia, right, and how sustainable last season was for Vanderbilt. But I do think there is still a path because you have a leg up on retention that most other programs don't have because of the significance of even being admitted to Stanford, the significance of even being admitted to Cal or Vanderbilt is very real academically. And so they have a better chance to retain and develop within. Now, it's not to the level of a service academy. You know, it's not to the level of an Army or a Navy in terms of the retention year over year. But I also think that Stanford and Vanderbilt can get better players on the front end than an Army or a Navy. So, yeah, I think they do have a chance. I think it's kind of like it's always been. It's about identifying the right guys and then just having enough NIL. I mean, you can't get NIL at the service academy. So that's another leg up, you know, that Stanford or Vanderbilt would have. It's about getting the right guys who want to come there for the right reasons. And then just having enough to keep some of the better ones around. You're probably going to lose your best three or four to the portal every year. I mean, that's just inevitable, but that doesn't mean that you can't still be competitive. And right now it doesn't even feel like Cal and Stanford are competitive.
Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday we got the announcement after, I think it's long overdue, but I think there's a conversation to be had about it, but the SEC is going to nine game conference schedule in 2026. They'll continue with a single standing non-divisional structure. Each school will play three annual opponents focused on maintaining the traditional rivalries. Each team's remaining six games will rotate among remaining conference schools, and they will have to face every other SEC program once every 2 years. I guess the question I'll start with is why now? Right here on the eve of the season, why did they make this decision?
I think it has at least something to do with the CFP coming out the other day and saying they're going to reevaluate how they factor in strength of schedule. And Greg Sankey must be pretty confident that they're serious about that, in that losses against really good teams won't kill you, and that wins against bad teams aren't going to mean as much, and that wins over really good teams will be heavily valued. It's all the strength of schedule metrics and factors that should have been heavily in play before that maybe weren't. And so if we're serious about factoring in strength of schedule, then the SEC is only going to benefit from going to nine games. Not to mention you get all the extra TV revenue probably from ESPN.
Sure.
for beefing up your slate. You can sell more tickets to your fans by playing better opposition. I mean, so there's a lot to like about it, and it's long overdue. I think it brings a really nice symmetry to the schedule too, because you'll have your three permanent opponents, but then you'll play everyone else every other year or twice over a 4-year span. And so the days of Tennessee and Texas A&M playing once every 12 years, you know, that's going to be over. So it's big news, and it is interesting though, isn't it, Gabe? Like the fact that after discussing this for years and maybe even decades, they just automatically on a whim on an athletic director call decided to get it done when they did. That is a bit peculiar, but I absolutely think it has something to do with that strength of schedule stuff that came out. And then also the writing is on the wall. Playoff expansion is going to happen again, against my wishes anyway. And when it does, I mean, I think the strength of schedule piece is going to be a huge, huge part of that. It's going to start to look more like college basketball with the way we look at resumes.
How much do you think, and I know the biggest thing, it happened a day after the college football playoff announced the new strength of schedule metric and how they were going to include it. So I think that's probably the biggest contributing factor. How much?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of a factor do you think the Big Ten huffing and puffing about 24 or 28 teams played into this?
Yeah, I think it gives some power back to the SEC. Like it establishes the SEC. Because look, everybody around college football was saying the SEC is chicken. They're scared. Their coaches are scared. They just want to pad their win-loss record so they can get their stupid little bowl incentives. And that was true. I mean, the SEC was playing scared by staying at eight games when there was honestly nothing to really be scared of. And so, by saying, hey, look, we're going to play nine games. We're going to play big boy football. We're not afraid. I think it gives them a little bit of a leverage in that CFP room now to dictate the conversation a bit more about, all right, let's talk about going to an at-large format, because look, we're playing nine games just like the Big 12 and the Big 10 are, and the ACC is going to follow us. So we're all in the same, we're all in the same boat here now. Let us have a voice and a say in this thing instead of Tony Petitti from the Big 10, running wild with these, absurd playoff formats.
Yeah. Do you expect Tony to bend the knee now that they've gone to nine conference games? Because that was the biggest complaint. That's the biggest source of disagreement between those two conferences on the new college football playoff.
Yeah. I would say so, but I don't know if he was ever serious about 24, 28. I mean, maybe eventually that's the direction it goes. But no, I think this, what this does is it probably brings back the five auto bids and 11 at larges to the table, especially because you saw the piece of this too, right? Where the SEC, in addition to nine league games, they're going to make it mandatory that you play at least one non-conference game against a Power Four opponent. And so,
doesn't have. So now they have that negotiating piece over the Big Ten's head, don't they? To a certain extent.
Yeah, without a doubt. And now, you got the strength of schedule that's going to be more highly valued. And so the SEC probably feels pretty good, to push for a more of an at-large format, or look, if it's a predetermined teams from each league, I just don't know that the SEC is gonna get on board with that, especially now. I mean, I think before strength of schedule was valued, and when you only had 8 league games, that might have been the time to agree to a predetermined number of teams from each league. But I think that ship has almost certainly sailed at this point.
All right, now final thing, and I want to have a little fun with this. We haven't talked about it this week, but Auburn claimed 4 more national titles, 1910, 1914, 1958, and 2004. And I think most people's heads, with the Cam Newton retirement and that, go to, how bad's Auburn going to be? What'd you think of the claiming of 4 national titles, one of which being 115 years after the fact?
Yeah, pretty amazing. Hugh Freeze, under his watch, they added national titles, right? You know, they're 12-13 on the field under his direction, but here they are with more national titles now. It's interesting because Auburn was, I guess, maybe a little bashful in some of these claims to national titles. You go to any college football program's Wikipedia page in the country, and almost all of them have a claimed national title at some point or another. There's probably some MAC schools and some Sun Belt programs that have claimed a national title at one point or another. But it's just solely based on, hey, we had a good season this year. We found some sports writer somewhere in 1943 during World War II who said we were the best team in the country. So, yeah, we have a national title. Auburn wasn't as aggressive about that over the course of history. And so, but what's weird is that they would do it now. Like, why do it now? It's just goofy. It's like reeks of UCF claiming a national title, except it's even sorrier because for UCF, like, claiming one actually meant something to a program like that. You're Auburn. You actually have national titles. Why do you have to go and claim fake ones? It just reeks of desperation. And yeah, it certainly doesn't inspire any confidence for their outlook for this season. That's for sure.
115 years after the fact gets me. And correct me if I'm wrong, UCF didn't, like, officially claim it in their record books. That was just more of a rallying cry for Danny White at the time in that program.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. Like, do they have banners up in Orlando?
No, I don't think they do. And to be honest with you, that 2016 team, or 20, was that 2017? 2016.
Okay,
it was 2017. It was my senior year. That team, I thought, was college football playoff worthy. That was a loaded, loaded UCF squad. They were damn good. I thought they could have made, I feel like if they would have gotten in, because we know Cincinnati got in a few years later, if they would have gotten into the college football playoff that year, I feel like they could have won a game, truthfully.
Yeah, well, they had to walk so Cincinnati could run. You know, actually, I would say this. If we had had the 12-team format then, that UCF team might be the G5 team from over the years that would have been best equipped to, like, go and make some noise.
Yep.
I mean, they were pretty nasty.
That was
McKenzie Milton's
heyday. They had Gabe Davis. They had the tight end that I'm Jordan Akins, who's played for the Texans for years. Defense was loaded up. The Griffins. They had some dogs. They really did. And then they beat the hell out of Auburn in the bowl game, in the New Year's Six bowl game.
Yeah, they did. And that was Scott Frost's sort of moment, right? Where it was like, oh man, this guy, he's going to be a star in this industry. And it has been quite the opposite. Now he is back at UCF and Gabe.
I don't buy it. Alex Grinch is his defensive coordinator. I don't like it. I don't Ugh. Trust him this time.
Yeah, it's going to be a disaster, I'm afraid. It might not be very pretty. Tenure 2 under Scott Frost. I'm not optimistic.
Hey, David, I looked up UCF on their official website in their honor section. If you go to, like, their records, it says 2017 that they claimed a national title.
Okay, so they did it officially. Okay.
So it's on their website.
Okay.
As being
so I was
claimed
wrong.
In 2017.
I was wrong. They did it. They did it. But yeah. Honestly, there's case. Why not?
They were undefeated, right? I mean, they nobody beat them. And so from that standpoint, I guess Auburn does in 2004. It's the same situation, pretty much. I mean, Like that Auburn team was nasty.
Well,
that was
the
Williams Ronnie Brown team.
UCF did it the year of. They didn't claim one 115 years after the fact. So there is that. And even 2004, I can't give that to you, David. That's ancient history. That's 20 years.
Auburn is pretty dead set on hanging on to the past. I mean, for crying out loud, like the war eagle is like a Civil War symbol, And here, they've somehow made it to 2025 still doing that. So I guess when you really think about it, it shouldn't be surprising that they are that they're claiming national titles from before World War One.
Gnarly, nasty stuff. But David, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the ball this weekend.
All right, I will, man. You too.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports, role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Now, we need to get some people some picks. For the first time during the college football season, we have some picks to get from Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. Stick around for that, and we'll make you some money. I know it's only week zero, but it's always time to make some money on college football. Lee Sterling joins the show from Paramount Sports. He's been a sports analyst for 31 years, number one documented capper for football, Major League Baseball, basketball, UFC, and NHL. Also, he is the Locked On Bets co-host and analyst. Lee, how's it going? It's here.
Finally. Strange, too. Usually in week zero, we're only looking at, Notre Dame's playing Army and can they cover the 4 or 5 touchdowns spread. We actually have a game where two top 25 teams are involved and, they lose this game and another game, they could be out. You never know.
Yep. It's a good appetizer for week one. But real quick, you do UFC picks and we text back and forth on the weekend about who we're taking.
Right.
Last week's main event, that was horrible, wasn't it? Dricus du Plessis and Plessis,
terrible.
I should say, and Hamza just took him down the whole time. Yeah. That was miserable, man. Damn. I couldn't stand that.
It was bad. I mean, I knew that he would have some problems, but not like that. I mean, to get taken down within the first 30 seconds of all 5 rounds, you're like, where was this guy training?
Right. What'd you do all these months?
The whole time.
Yeah, what'd you do? And Hamzat just trying to prove a point that he could wrestle. It was just, that stunk.
Yeah.
That stunk. I'm mad. Yeah, I bought it.
See that.
I'm glad soon we're going to the non-pay-per-view in UFC, so I don't have to spend $79.99 on those fight cards.
We're gonna save about $1,500 a year.
Yes, it's huge. It's huge.
Don't tell your wife that though.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now who is in trouble?
Yep.
In this Dublin game, 11 a.m. at Aviva Stadium in Dublin, you have Iowa State number 22, Kansas State number 17, Kansas State -3. Now, with Iowa State worth mentioning, Rocco Becht is a good quarterback, but he did lose his top two targets, who were top 150 draft picks in the NFL draft, and Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins. Who do you think is in trouble in this game? And a lot goes into it with travel and otherwise.
Right. Well, both teams, you don't know, the playing surface also could be a factor. We don't know about that. What was interesting about what you said, how big were those two guys, the two receivers for Iowa State that were drafted in the second, third round? Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel combined for 167 catches, over 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns. They might be the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver since Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
So look it up. Crazy. So a lot of people thought Iowa State was going to be the favorite. They had won 4 of the last 5 in the series. They had covered all 5 games. Near identical schedules. Iowa State ranked 34th, Kansas State 38th as far as schedule last year. But the Wildcats, believe it or not, were better in almost every metric except for record. Example, Kansas State outgained their opponents by 83 yards. Iowa State, just 62. So how did Iowa State go 11-3 and Kansas State 9-4? Iowa State was +9 in turnovers for the year, while Kansas State, surprisingly, -1 after going +11 and +12 the last 2 years. I think this game comes down to Kansas State's quarterback, Avery Johnson. I just think he's more explosive. Not saying he's going to be a better NFL quarterback, but a better college quarterback running and throwing the football. And then Iowa State last year, normally when you win 10, 11 games, how many sacks would you say you normally end up with as a team?
45, 50 in all likelihood, right? Somewhere around there?
35 to 45, right? All right, and Kansas State had 35. Iowa State had 16. They're not real good at creating havoc. They just had a lot of breaks, and they caught a lot of teams at the right time. I think Kansas State is the favorite, and it is for a reason here. I like Kansas State 27-20.
I tend to as well. The Big 12, though, I know everybody's going to give Arizona State the benefit of the doubt, but they lost Cam Scataboo. The Big 12 is just
right.
I mean, when we talk about the power conferences,
it's not great.
It's not great, but it's just the amount of parity. You just never have a hold on it. Kansas State's usually near the top. But, you know, last year we thought, Kansas and Arizona would be able to recreate what they did in 2023, and that wasn't the case. There's always these fall-offs for these good teams. And Oklahoma State wasn't even a player last year, even though they had Ollie Gordon.
They were unwatchable.
I think Iowa State, I hate to say it this way, it feels like the reason they won 11 games is because someone in the Big 12 had to.
Right. That's it. Just won a lot of – they won a lot of close games. I'm going to make this prediction. I'm going to say if the ACC does not place a team in the semifinals or the finals, you're going to see the Big Ten and the SEC add four teams each from the ACC pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. We'll see.
They're going to gut the ACC.
We'll see. Now, you have more picks out there, and we'll get to the number that people need to call and go to the site, Paramount Sports. But I want to preview some local teams. We'll start with the one that has the least expectations. Mississippi State going into this year. I have picked them as the worst team in the SEC. Some people will say Kentucky, but Jeff Lebby in year two. How do we feel about Mississippi State?
They could end up being better than Kentucky. Not many other teams. They've got to keep Blake Shapen, and they've got to keep him upright. He's got to stay healthy here. Got a lot of transfers. Problem is, most of these guys, you know, if they started, did not play for good teams, and these are not top-level guys. They just don't have the money to compete with some of these other schools. So, you know, they're trying to do the best that they can. They're just going to have to stay. They could have as many as like 12 guys start for them from the transfer portal. So, and they're going to have to run the ball some. And, I mean, you just look at the metrics last year. Could only complete 58% of your passes. They haven't completed 60% or better of the passes in 3 years. They allowed 70.4% completion percentage. And get this, they had a total of 10 sacks. 10 sacks in the entire season.
Yuck.
They should have had 8 or 10 against Eastern Kentucky and Toledo. So they lost that game to Toledo 41-17. They're going to have a rough year this year.
Yep. Now I want to get to Ole Miss. I have said this. Yep. I'm a believer in Austin Simmons, if for no other reason than Lane Kiffin didn't go portaling. Like, if Lane Kiffin believes in you as a quarterback, he's not going to try to recruit over you.
Right.
And Austin Simmons, we saw him in that Georgia game with his one drive just drive straight down the field in a game that Ole Miss won.
Right.
Jackson Dart then came in and played pretty well the rest of the game. But Austin Simmons, I have some real hope in this guy. But I do believe when we talk valleys and peaks of teams in the SEC that could compete, I think that Ole Miss is kind of the least predictable. Like, I could see them bottoming out about 6 or 7 wins. I could see them topping out at 10 or 11 if everything breaks right with Austin Simmons. What do you think about Ole Miss?
I like him a lot. Here's the problem also. Your team takes on almost the character of the coach. They are better as an underdog. I mean, you know, a couple of their losses to Kentucky at home and at Florida were horrific. So, they, you know, as an underdog, I like them better in games as far as a handicapper. And they don't have top-end talent. They're expecting a lot of guys. They gotta get this pass rush going again, because the secondary could be really beaten big time if they're not able to get the quarterback and get 35, minimum 40 sacks this year. But Austin Simmons is going to be a lot of fun. This guy is just so composed. It's scary. He could be that good. He might be the first pick in 2 years.
Oh, wow. Calling your shot. All right, now let's get to my Memphis Tigers. You brought up Mississippi State starting potential 12 transfer portal guys. Well, University of Memphis, it could be the whole team. By my count,
right,
basically three returning starters, right, one on the D-line, William Whitlow, and then two offensive linemen. New quarterback in Brendan Lewis, who's right, not been successful at the college level, but he had some decent production last year. He's been in some terrible situations. Carl Durrell's Colorado and Ken Wilson's Nevada. That's just terrible circumstances. But Memphis is an unknown, but I feel like, you know, you could probably elaborate on this. There's a bar. There's a certain metric that you just feel like they will meet, whether that's 8 wins, 9 wins, whatever you think.
I also think that the Americans going to be way down this year. So I think the only teams that are going to compete with Memphis for a title are UTSA. They have a returning quarterback in Owen McCown. It's pretty darn good. I wish that these two teams would have played each other. People are talking about Tulane a lot, but I just don't see it there. And I know they got the transfer quarterback from BYU. I still think they have some holes. I think it's South Florida. It's the other team. Mm-hmm. They've been building, and Alex Golsh has done a nice job recruiting, developing, and also going to the transfer portal enough. And maybe Navy to a smaller extent. But other than that, I think there's a bunch of teams that are way, way, way down this year. So this, you know, everyone talks about Memphis every year getting there and getting the college football playoff. Maybe there's a shot this year, maybe in part because, you know, the conference is just down a little bit. And, you know, if the expectations aren't as high and not the pressure isn't there, I like a lot of the transfers they got. You know, they got some guys I think they can play. They got a couple guys on defense. I thought, when's the last time you saw guys that might be all conference players that they got on defense? And those are three of those guys this kid saw, Brumfield, and also Cooper, the cornerback. These guys could end up being super players for them. So I have high expectations. The over-under win totals 8.5. That's one of the totals I say go over. A couple others that I like, college football going over under. My best is probably Air Force. So it's 5.5. The five times that they had at least five returning offensive and defensive starters, they've gone over 5.5 wins every single season. They'll do it again here. Love Georgia Tech over 7.5 wins. Mm-hmm. They might end up being the second best team in the ACC, and they get Clemson at home. You're looking maybe to pin a loss on Clemson. Georgia Tech could do it at home. And, you know, maybe a few of the other teams are Utah, 7.5. They have the transfer quarterback from New Mexico. Baylor over 7.5. They've got a ton. I think they got 19 returning starters, one of the few teams that has that many. And maybe my best also is Houston. Houston Cougars, I love Willie Fritz. Second year, he's turned over the roster here. Just 5.5 wins. I think he'll win at least 7 or 8 games.
Underrated, overrated in the SEC? Curious, real quick, before I let you roll. Who do you have in that category? Those categories.
Underrated Alabama. I think they're actually better than Georgia and Texas. And, you know, second year, I think they get things evened out. I love Oklahoma. I love John Mateer as a quarterback. I think they got the right guy.
Just stay off of Venmo.
Don't sleep. Yeah, right. Jay Knott can be really good too. He was banged up last year trying to play for Cal. And maybe to a smaller extent, maybe Florida. Overrated, South Carolina. They caught everyone at the right time last year. And Lenore Sellers is a great athlete, but there's sometimes he can go a whole half. I mean, he's all over the place throwing the football. And Tennessee's going to win at tops maybe 7 games. They're without their quarterback and star running back. They're going to take their lumps.
For sure. Let my listeners know how to find you.
ParamountSports.com. How about this? We've got a UFC card starting, this is crazy, at 3 o'clock Eastern in the morning here. So starting 8 plus hours, you want to get involved in that card from China. Normally $33 for 3 selections. How about this? Use coupon code SAVE30. $3. You want to try out our UFC. $3 for 3 selections in the UFC football. You want to get the season, it's 1997 through the Super Bowl. Or you want to try us out through the end of September, 6 weeks, September to remember, normally $5.97. Use coupon code SAVE100, just $497. All the specials are up and available. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
You heard the man. Let's make some money. Lee, appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You too, buddy. See you again.
Yes, sir. He is Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Go to ParamountSports.com to find all of his picks. And also check him out on the Locked On Bets podcast. He's a co-host and analyst there. Now let's go ahead and get to small talk to wrap up our... It's time to go sign up and get your workouts in at LA Fitness. Right now they're giving a free 3-day trial. Go to LAFitness.com. You get that three-day free trial, and you can see if you like it, but I promise you, you're going to like it. They have new lift rooms. They have saunas. They have basketball courts. They have pools. They have whatever you need, whether you're trying to run a marathon, stay in shape, reach a new PR on bench and squat. They have all you need. And in Memphis, they have 7 locations. So you're always going to have one close to home, close to work. And on top of that, the Kids Club is there for you. So if you need childcare while you're getting your workout in, $10 per month per child. That is very, very good when it comes to a deal. But you join now for $0 down and $24.99 per month. The note there, though, is $24.99 is for one location. If you want to visit all 7 locations and see all the amenities, it's $29.99 per month. But join now for $24.99 per month, $59 annual to access any single club in the Memphis area. Membership auto-renews and requires first and last month's dues at joining. Additional terms and conditions apply. All right, let's go ahead and hop into small talk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, in the most unsurprising news of the day, Memphis is not just the capital of the United States for barbecue. According to Food Beast, a national food outlet, they have declared Memphis the wing capital of America. We knew this. Wait, what was that?
That was my bad.
Yeah.
The buzzer's
wrong
next to the applause.
Wrong sounder.
Hand up.
It's very obvious that, you know, that we're the wing capital. We have all the good flavors. We have a bunch of good spots. We have chains. We have all of it going for us. And we do fried food well. Surprise, surprise. We're a big city. We're a big city. We got some meat on our bones. But I was surprised that we have over 200 wing shops, wing restaurants in the city. Over 200.
There's one on every corner.
That's a hell of a
lot. You can
lot.
Basically get wings in any restaurant you walk into in Memphis.
We are.
Just about every restaurant.
I tell everybody this. We're a very underrated food city.
Oh, yeah.
We don't do, like, the real fancy stuff. Like, leave that to Chicago, New York, all that. L.A.
We have some fancy places.
We do, but we, when it comes to just, like, that budget meal, that just good food, you can go to a nice restaurant. We are an underrated food city.
I agree.
We do very well for ourselves. Not just barbecue and wings. We do it all really well. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll open up hour number 3, talking some Grizzlies with Parker Fleming from Substack. Lita, stick around for that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.